Brian Rashaga joins us. Shager, how you doing?
Doing fantastic today, buddy. How are you?
I'm outstanding. I'm not as good as Rocco Grimaldi. I think that's awesome.
That's a heck of a day, man.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's a great day. I interviewed Rocco Grimaldi the year he was drafted. During the draft, I went up into the stands and had a talk with him. And he's an extremely religious. His family is extremely religious. I remember he had a tie on at the draft. It actually had passages from the Bible written on his tie. A very, very religious man, but real good, hard-nosed young player that kind of one of those beating the odds as a smaller guy, but a heck of a good player.
It's kind of a unique story, something fun, the 10:30 start, San Antonio and OKC, and now they're playing.
Yeah, the 10:30 weekday start.
Well, you know what?
When does that happen?
That's the second week in a row for OKC, because last week it was Tuesday, and of course it was Remembrance Day, so they did it for that. And I'm not sure why. I know they play a lot of the, you know, they're kind of hockey hooky days, but 10:30 in the morning's pretty early, but that's why they do it.
Who are they playing tonight?
The Kings.
So he's taking face-offs against Anton Lander this morning,
mm-hmm.
and tonight he'll be taking face-offs against Jeff Carter and
Andre Kopitar. Yeah.
Wow, how's that for a welcome to the NHL moment?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, instead of going one-on-one against Brad Hunt, he'll be facing down Drew Doughty.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder. I don't know why I'm just not as successful in this second game. What's going on?
I bet he plays better tonight, man. He's got to be so jacked up just running on pure adrenaline.
Oh, yeah. I think it'd be awesome.
That's a great story.
Let's talk about the Oilers. I just wrote an article on Oilers Nation today about
today.
The Oilers must sign Jeff Petrie. Must in my books. My question is, do you think they can, or will he go free agent route?
Well, I think there were discussions before that happened in and around the same time when they were negotiating with Justin Schultz. There was a lot of talks, and they were really long, drawn-out talks on both guys. And I know they discussed long-term deals. I know they discussed short-term deals. They discussed a bunch of different options. But I think that the negotiations were probably pretty stiff. And so they ended up, both of them, doing much shorter term deals. So can they sign him long term? I think so, but I think the agent's probably going to want a pretty significant dollar figure. And I think that if I don't think there'll be hometown discount type scenario where the Oilers get him at a better buck than anybody else would. I think they probably would have to, like they do for other players, pay a considerable amount for him in free agency to have him stay here longer term. That wouldn't surprise me. I agree with you in terms of the situation that they're in, right? They can't be just losing decent NHL players for nothing. And the problem with Jeff Petrie, the frustration with Jeff Petrie, is he's just been miscast almost his entire NHL career as an Oiler. He's been miscast. He hasn't had good enough players insulating him. Now, we talk all this talk about young players needing to be insulated, whether it's Draisaitl or whoever it is. Well, where's the insulation been for Jeff Petrie? This guy's been thrown in from the start. And so he's been miscast, right? He's a second pairing, number 4/5 defenseman on a team that's going to be any good at all. He's played, essentially, had to play as a 1-2 or a 3 most of the time that he's played for the Oilers. So he's a player that looks like he has a lot of warts on him because he's been miscast. When he gets better defensemen eating up those really tough minutes, he's going to be a decent second-pairing defenseman. So I agree with you that just letting him go for nothing would be a mistake. They have nothing on the right side in their organization. Like, there's nothing coming on the right side. I'm looking at it right now. Nikitin left, Ferentz left, Marinchin left, Nurse left, Hunt left, Ollie left, Simpson, Osterley, Gernat, UCL. They're all left shots, all of them. Davidson, Klefbom. They got nothing on the right side. And so, yeah, I agree with you. They probably need to find a way to get it done, but they're going to have to take a big gulp because it's probably going to be a pretty big number.
What do you think? Like, I look at Strowman's numbers, right? He went to the free agent market at 27.
Yeah.
And got $4.5 million a year from Tampa Bay. Do you think Petrie would get more than that?
Well, I think they'll probably ask for more than that. That might end up being where they come close to settling. I don't think that $4 million a year is going to get him on a long-term deal. I think they're going to have to pay more than that for him. And they're probably going to have to give him some term. And so I think probably Strowman, I think you're bang on with with where you pinpoint the direct comparable or what a good comparable would be. And I mean, it depends on how Petrie finishes. It depends when they negotiate. Like, if they start negotiating in January before the end of this year, or if they let it go to next summer. I mean, I think that if the Oilers decide they need to sign this guy, I think they'd be smart to just try and get it done after the January deadline rather than waiting till Petrie, you know, can just taste the other offers that are a couple months away. You know, I think they're probably smart to just try and get it done. But I think it'll probably be in that $4.5 million range, you know, whether it's a touch below or a touch above. I think that's probably where it ends up coming in, which, I mean, it's a lot of money for Jeff Petrie, but if you look at what other second-pairing defensemen around the league, even number four guys, I mean, that's not out of this world for a guy in that position.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not. And that's why I would sign him. The other thing is, I looked at the free agent market, because if people are like, well, you get rid of Petrie and replace him, get somebody better. I'm like, okay, well, who's better? Unless you're going to hold out hope and pray that Johnny Boychuk's that guy, the only other right defenseman who's close is a guy who's 5 years older in Mahalik. That's it. Yeah. There's really no other right shot free agent defenseman or anywhere close.
Yeah. The thing is that, so you give Petrie $4.5 million. But, I mean, you can't give that to him expecting him to turn into something that he's not. Like, the one thing that I'll respectfully, not disagree, but, you know, I heard you say earlier on in the show that you think his next 5 years are going to be much better or better than his previous few. I don't know about that. I think Jeff Petrie might just be what he is. I think he might just kind of already be what he's going to be. I don't know that you look at him and go, man, his upside is he's got some significant upside and he's going to get a lot better. I think if they're signing Jeff Petrie, they need to be realistic and sign him for what he is now and not expect that, okay, here's $4.5 million. Now you got to be a top pair. No. If you sign Jeff Petrie, guess what? You still need to go find two more defensemen that are better than him.
On the right side?
No, you do.
No, but on the right side.
No, somewhere on their decor.
Yeah, no, but that's
still need to bring in two guys that are a top pairing, and that allows Jeff Petrie to be basically a four or a five. Like, they can't sign Petrie to $4.5 million and say, there you go, you're our top pairing right side defense.
Well, no, I don't think anybody's expecting it to be that, though.
They need to have guys play ahead of him. They need better players as their core of their defense. They have to find some top end defensemen somehow, or develop them or whatever. But my point is, Jason, you can't sign Jeff Petrie and then expect him to turn into something that he's not.
Well, that's why, to me, at $4.5 million is not a top-pairing defenseman, right? He's a second-pairing defenseman. But the thing about Petrie is the biggest element of his game is consistency. And most NHL defensemen, once they get consistent, like Petrie can skate. We see his gap control is better. He's learned to protect the middle of the ice a lot better before. I think Craig Ramsey, you're starting to see some impact on him. Petrie's been the Oilers' best defenseman for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I know that people say, well, it's the Oilers' best defenseman. I don't care. He still plays pretty decent, tough competition. Him and Andrew Ferentz now have most of the tough assignments and are doing fine with it. He skates well. If I'm paying him $4.5 million, I'm not expecting him to be a top-pairing defenseman. I'm saying here's a guy who we have locked in as our second-pairing guy, and that's what's, you know, in the salary cap era, you're not asking him to be more than he is because really what a second-pairing guy is.
I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't sign him to that deal and expect there's going to be significant improvement in Jeff Petrie. I think he is what he is. You know, maybe he'll have a bit of an up year, a bit of a down year. I don't know that he's going to grow into a different game or that there's going to be, you know, all of a sudden he's going to be 15, 20, 25% better in the next couple of years. I think you sign him with the strong knowledge that this is what this player is. And we're okay with that if you're the Oilers. And so here's what we think that value is. I mean, look, if I'm reading it correctly, I think he has more defensive zone starts than any other defenseman on the Oilers. Takes the tough starts, the tough face-offs in his own zone. And, you know, he does good work. There's another problem that the Oilers have, and I know you've talked about this before, that also makes signing Jeff Petrie long-term kind of makes you go, ugh. Because if you look at their decor, right, Nikita Nikitin, pretty soft player. Mark Fain, good, solid defensive defenseman, but overall is not a really hard, hard player. Ferentz does what he can at his size, and he's got some grit to his game. Petrie, soft. Schultz, soft. Marinchen, soft as butter. Klefbom, fairly soft player. They got Darnell Nurse coming, and he's got some edge. But Petrie's another one of those guys. It just adds to a really, really soft decor. So committing to him long-term, you're committing to a guy that, again, makes you softer to play against, and that's tough. But the Oilers have to improve that elsewhere. You can't throw away a decent player. They gotta find some other guys that can come in and have some other dimension rather than just lose Petrie for nothing.
Ryan Rashog joins us. Pinizzotto today he was in the baby blues for them with Purcell, Pouliot, and Draisaitl. And Gazdic was playing with Uwensu. Do you think Pinizzotto comes in the lineup tomorrow against Vancouver? I assume he does. Who do you think comes out?
Uwensu. I would play them in for Jesse Uwensu. That's what I would do. I think that Pinizzotto is he's getting some points down in the minors. I think that, yes, he's slowed down a little bit. He started real good, but I don't think there's anything wrong with giving him a bit of a breather. It's not like this team is winning game after game here, and they couldn't possibly touch a winning lineup. Like, give me a break. You know, that fourth line has been good, but the main reason is Boyd Gordon has been a horse. Matt Hendricks has been working hard. I think they can sub Pinizzotto in there no problem at all and give Uwensu a little bit of a break. So that's where I'd put him in. I think they might, but I don't know for sure. That's what I'd do, though.
Okay. And what would you do for goaltending?
Oh, man. Grab that coin and just flip it, I guess, hey? Like, I don't know, man. This is so... If you're Dallas Eakins, you could tie yourself in knots trying to figure out what the right thing to do is. Just tie yourself in knots over and over again. I mean, I'd probably go with the other guy, right? Because it should be winning, you stay in, losing, you come out. I think they should be consistent with that. Give guys the opportunity to grab it, and if they don't, you're out. So I'd swap it up again. Back and forth, and back and forth it goes. How about you?
Yeah.
I don't know what the records are.
Yeah, no, I probably don't have a problem going back to Victor Foss. Ben Scrivens played the last two games and didn't win either one of them. And it's not that it wasn't his fault by any stretch, but yeah, I can see them. They'll probably go back to Victor Foss. At this point, you just got to hope that whoever plays goal, like Ben Scrivens gave him an opportunity to win last game. They lose 2-1. You know, I didn't fault him on either one of those goals. So, you know, I don't have a problem with the goaltending. As long as Foss doesn't allow weak goals, then they're fine.
But just not having a problem with the goaltending isn't real. I mean, somebody's got to jump. The idea is to just not be bad. That's not what the idea is to be an NHL goaltender. It's not like you look at Ben and you look at Victor and say, just don't be bad, and then you'll get the next start. No. At some point, somebody's got to jump out and grab it, right? So if you're great in a loss, I can see that. But when you're just okay and you don't let all the bad goal, that's not reason to earn the net back. So switch it up. And then make somebody, like the bar should be play great. Play great and you get to stay in. You know what? Even if you play crappy in a loss, switch it up. Let the bar be play great and you get to keep playing that. You know, rather than just, it wasn't terrible. Didn't let a bad one in. So, we'll go back. No. The bar needs to be set higher than that. And by the way, like, get Martin Marincin in a game, for goodness sakes. Enough's enough. Nikita Nikitin's been all over the place.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you there.
Rack. Like, get him in the lineup. How old is he? What is he, 22? 23? Yep. Like, enough of sitting this kid out. You know, I know Dallas wasn't happy with some stuff, and I know that there's some frustration. Whatever. They're trying to develop good young defensemen, sitting them in the press box game after game after game after game. Well, you got a guy who's floundering out there, a free agent signing who's floundering, and off. Let the play do the talking. It's time for Nikitin to sit and for Marincin to get an opportunity to earn some of this back, because there were a few games this year where Martin Marincin was pretty good defenseman for the Oilers, and everybody else seems to be getting that opportunity. I don't know why they're making him ride the pine this long with somebody so obviously struggling out there.
Shogger, fired up. I like it. Have yourself a great night.
Okay, buddy. We'll talk.